Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. In Colorado, four police officers have lost their jobs after an eight-month-old photo surfaced showing two of them posing in the kind of chokehold used on Elijah McClain, a 23-year-old black man who died after being confronted by police last year. Colorado Public Radio's Megan Verlee has more.
The image shows one officer with his forearm against the neck of another as a third officer stands next to them. They're all smiling. It was taken near a memorial to McClain. Aurora Police Chief Vanessa Wilson called the photo reprehensible and said the department has, quote, reset its culture.
I can say that we've made a lot of mistakes, and I am continuing to address those mistakes with transparency and also holding officers accountable.
Two of the officers in the photo were fired and one resigned. Another officer who was sent the picture was also fired for responding. That officer was part of the call that led to McClain's death. Protesters in Aurora have been calling for fundamental changes to the city's police department. For NPR News, I'm Megan Verlee in Denver.
Researchers at Johns Hopkins University say there are now more than 11 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 worldwide. Dr. Michael Ryan, executive director of the Health Emergencies Program at the World Health Organization, says progress has been made, but everyone should remain vigilant.
Communities have paid a very high price so far for the gains we've made. So we owe it to them to make the best possible effort to continue to suppress the transmission of this virus, to continue to keep mortality rates down. And if we have to fight a second wave, we will. We will be much better at fighting a second wave of this disease if we can at least learn the lessons of fighting the first wave.
The U.S. has the most cases in the world by far, more than 2.7 million. More than 129,000 people have died. The latest figures show South America is rivaling the U.S. as a pandemic hotspot. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
Latin America has registered more than 2.7 million cases, now just slightly less than the world leader, the U.S. Brazil accounts for more than half. Before the virus hit, much of Latin America was already roiled by conflict and political unrest. It's much worse now. COVID-19 has killed more than 121,000 people across the region. Latin America's economies are shrinking fast, particularly threatening tens of millions of impoverished workers in the informal sector. Researchers say more than half of Brazilians of working age are now jobless, while the World Food Programme says the number of Latin Americans needing food aid has tripled. Philip Reeves, NPR News.
President Trump is at the Mount Rushmore National Memorial in South Dakota for a celebration the day before Independence Day with a military flyover and fireworks. About 15 protesters were arrested while trying to block the main road heading into the event. This is NPR News. Two strong earthquakes shook Puerto Rico today, the first at a magnitude of 4.9, followed by one with a magnitude of 5.3. They hit just southwest of the island and caused some small landslides, the remote media reports of injuries. Shots rang out at a shopping mall in Hoover, Alabama this afternoon. Officials say an 8-year-old boy was killed. At least three people were injured. Police say they don't know yet what prompted the shooting. New York filmmaker Kevin Rafferty has died. Rafferty was 73 and produced such highly regarded documentaries as The Atomic Cafe and Blood in the Face. John Kalish reports from New York.
Rafferty was the first cousin of President George W. Bush, but his political worldview was anything but Republican. He considered his most important work, The Atomic Cafe, a 1982 documentary that served up a blistering portrayal of the nuclear energy and nuclear weapons industries. Rafferty tackled white supremacy in his 1991 film, Blood in the Face, which won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. Rafferty retired after his 2008 film Harvard Beats Yale 29-29. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.
The Cleveland, Ohio baseball team, the Cleveland Indians, announced tonight it's considering changing its name because it's offensive to some. The club says it's committed to making a positive impact in the community. This follows an announcement by Washington's football team earlier today that it will conduct a review of its name. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.